Are you rich? You might not think so, but compared to most of the world, you're probably quite wealthy. Hi, I'm Rob West. Just having clean water, food, and shelter sets us apart from much of the world's population. The question is, what are we doing with this wealth? I'll talk with Ken Boa and Russ Crossan about that today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, I can't tell you how excited I am to have Ken Boa and Russ Crossan on the program today. They've been good friends for a long time. Ken is a pastor. He's the founder of Reflections Ministries. Russ is the executive vice president and chief mission officer of Ronald Blue Trust. And Ken and Russ, great to have you on the program today.
Rob, good to be with you.
Good to be with you.
Well, you guys have written this phenomenal new book titled Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. And we're starting today, as you guys know, a three-part series discussing what you've unpacked in this book. I should tell listeners that they can get a copy of Leverage with a gift of any amount to FaithFi. Just go to our website, faithfi.com, and click the Give tab. Now, to start, Ken and Russ, I'm curious, I'd love to know, and maybe Russ, you can kick us off, what made the two of you decide to collaborate on this book on giving?
Well, thanks for asking. I'm kind of laughing here because Ken had sent me a proposed outline for a giving book he was considering doing. And as is in Ken fashion, he's so wise and so knowledgeable. He had like seven steps and seven processes, and he had some things in there about foundations and about ceilings and things like that. And I said, hey, Ken, that's kind of my area. So I was bold enough to send him a suggested different outline. And we kind of collaborated with him on the principle side and me on the practical side. And I think, like Ken likes to say, a theologian and a practitioner was kind of a unique way to go about this. So, Ken, thanks for letting me interrupt your thought process there when you sent that to me about 2.5 years ago.
This was a remarkable time that we had putting that together, because I did the part on principles of biblical leverage. And then Russ would do the practices. Let those do most what they do best.
Yes. Well, you've come up with a unique resource that covers both the spiritual and the practical side of giving. Let's dive into that. As you gentlemen know, the verse, Luke 12:48, to whom much was given, of him much will be required, has a lot to do with our topic today. Russ, this is obviously your domain. You've been counseling a lot of wealthy believers for a long time. You know, we've been given a lot here in the U.S. Does that make it easier or more difficult to leverage that wealth for the kingdom?
Well, it's interesting, Rob. It seems like when we start our careers, we start our businesses, we have faith. And then when God blesses us and we have way more than we need, we tend to put our confidence and faith in the pile and not in God. And so, unfortunately, it seems like the more you have, sometimes it's harder to draw a finish line. We in our company have spent 40 years helping people realize there is an amount that's enough, then you ought to be able to be generous above that amount. But I think it's harder. The more you have, sometimes it's harder to be generous commensurate with how you've been blessed. You know, the New Testament says, give according to your ability. And I think for wealthy people, that becomes a hard thing to do. And so we've had the privilege of spending four decades helping people answer that question. But I think, yeah, it's harder, quite frankly, Rob, the more you have.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Ken, spiritually?
There's a downward pull that money has on us. It has its own gravity. Wealth is not a neutral thing. In fact, the whole concept is that the leverage, therefore, make use of the wealth of unrighteousness, as Jesus says in Luke 16. And that word is kind of interesting. The King James calls it filthy lucre. But make use of the wealth of the mammon or wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, of course, that's when you die. You leave it all behind. You don't, that's why there's no U-Haul behind a hearse.
That's right.
The fact is, you can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. But it tethers us to this world. And we find our identity, it seems to be more and more fashioned and formed by the pile, as Russ describes it, as this, by this gravity, so that it has to be overcome, that gravity of the pull, and holding it with an eternal perspective. Because I think God uses financial abundance to refine and reveal where our hearts are.
Wow, that's powerful. We'll continue to unpack that. We're talking today with Russ Crossan and Dr. Ken Boa. Their new book, Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain, is a must read. When we come back, we'll talk about what is biblical leverage? How do you cultivate an eternal perspective? And what are some of the spiritual dangers with wealth? That and much more with Ken Boa and Russ Crossan. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're going to take a quick break and come back with much more just around the corner. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Some things are just impossible, like flying without a plane or helicopter. No matter how hard we try, humans are limited to the ground and the water, gravity. Ever thought about the first person to go up in a hot air balloon? What a feeling that must have been, to be free, up in the sky with the birds. But even though we are limited, chained to this earth, unless we use some sort of machine, we can have confidence. The Word of God is not limited like we are. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's Word is not chained. Get Anchor devotional in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Why did Paul teach a church in Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God? What exactly is that armor? And why do we need it? I'm Charles Morris. Meet up with me on Haven Today all week. We have a program series continuing called The Christian's Warfare to learn more about spiritual battle with the enemy.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, my good friends, Dr. Ken Boa and Russ Crossan. Ken is the founder of Reflections Ministries. Russ is the chief mission officer at Ronald Blue Trust. We're talking today about their great new book, Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. It's a really phenomenal book because it comes at both the spiritual and the practical side of generosity. And gentlemen, just to continue to build this out a bit, we were talking about how we've been blessed with much. If we have more than we need, we're rich according to the world standards. But Russ, I know you've also written to folks who really don't have much. I'm thinking about your book, Money Made Simple, which just really boiled down these concepts for someone really at any income level. So what would you say to someone who says, I don't have enough to leverage it for the kingdom?
Well, I think we all have something we can give. You can forego a meal out. You can buy something at Goodwill rather than the designer store. So the idea is we need to give to acknowledge God's ownership. That's one of the reasons we give. It's the antidote. Yeah. It helps us get our hands off of it. And so whether you have a little or a lot, you need to get engaged in the giving journey, the generosity journey. And, you know, I didn't always know that when I was a young person, but I tell you, you can't outgive God. So I'd say wherever you are, give something to acknowledge ownership. And then as we'll learn as we unpack this, you know, some people say, well, you got to get the 10%. Well, the New Testament says give according to your ability. So I would say start where you are, give something to acknowledge ownership and see what God does.
Yeah, I love that. Ken, now we're not saying folks should take a vow of poverty, but at the same time, as you mentioned before the break, wealth comes with spiritual dangers. So what do we need to be aware of there?
We need to be aware, as I mentioned earlier, about this idea of a downward pull or a gravity that the world, the flesh, and the devil actually act upon us. And so as part of that whole concept, money, as I say, is not neutral, but it can be leveraged for the kingdom or it can be leveraged for the flesh. It has three things. The more we have, the harder it is, number one, to live by faith. Number two, the more we will make our identity based upon it. And third, the more proud we will be inclined to be. And so it's intriguing how that those three things work in that concert.
Yeah, I think Ken said it right, and I said it earlier, that it seems like we have faith when we don't have anything. You know, we trust God when we're building our businesses, starting our careers, but then we get the surplus and we put our confidence there. And it says in Psalm 78 that there's four generations talked about in Psalm 78, 5-7. He commanded the fathers to teach their children, to teach their children, to teach their children, to put their confidence in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commands. And so the best thing we can do for our families is be generous, but also model faith. And the more you have, it's sometimes hard to model that faith and show our kids we're putting confidence in God and not in the stuff.
Oh, it's so important. Russ, what is this idea of biblical leverage? How would you describe that?
Well, you're sending it on ahead, you know, and you're storing up, you know, 30, 60, 100-fold returns. And I think, you know, we're told that in Scripture. You know, you store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal, Matthew 6. And so the idea is that I can take my temporal wealth and I begin to invest in people.
Yeah.
And I would hope for the listeners that when they get to heaven, there'll be people lined up to thank them for their generosity. That's what we mean by leverage. I talk about the concept of limited sphere. You can use your money and build more homes and build more stuff, but only a limited number of people ever know what you have financially. But if you invest it in God's work and you leverage it, you know, through ministries, through your church, through your family, and by being generous, you can impact an unlimited sphere of people. So that's the decision we all have. Am I going to try to impress a limited number of people, or am I going to send it on ahead and impact an unlimited sphere of people?
That's a powerful idea. Dr. Boa, I've appreciated your teaching over the years on heaven and just living with and cultivating an eternal perspective. Why is it important to live with the end in mind?
Yes. The idea of understanding that what we do on this earth really does, as Maximus put it in Gladiator, has an impact on eternity. There's truth to this. The fact is that realizing the brevity of our earthbound sojourn, that we are in a soul-forming world, we're not home yet, is inviting us then to hold everything with a loose grip insofar as we are actually, all of us, are stewards who own nothing, including that which we hold back, we're going to be held accountable for. It's all God's, and he's going to ask us at the judgment seat, what did we do with it? So we're invited to see it. So going back to this idea of leverage, give me a lever long enough and a fulcrum on which to place it, Archimedes said, and I will move the world. So it has the idea that you can actually move something and put it in the right place, and it has a disproportionate impact. And that's my view, is that our impact by giving into the kingdom of God and this serving people is incalculably diffusive. We can't quantify it, but it'll multiply it far beyond its earthbound amount.
That's powerful. Russ, you mentioned that you've helped folks for 40 years think about this idea of enough, a financial finish line. What are some of the keys to helping folks begin to set that amount? And is it really a specific amount?
Well, and it is, Rob, for every individual. Everybody's worried about, well, what if taxes change? What if the investments go down? What if inflation gets out of hand? You know, what if my living expenses go up? So there's four or five or six variables that whatever you can be stressed about, you can put into your unique situation and project it out, and there's a number that's enough. So everybody has a number. And this is not that fidelity number the investment commercials have. This is a number that's enough for you to live based on where you are in the country, where you are in your life, but there's a finish line, there's a ceiling that's enough. And yes, you can quantify it. And then once you quantify it, and I've just helped a guy in the last couple of weeks say, oh, I don't need to keep building my net worth. He saw his ceiling, he saw his finish line, and now he's being way more generous because he sees that. So yes, you can quantify it. Whatever you're worried about, put it in a projection and you're probably going to have enough.
Yeah, that's so helpful. Dr. Boa, as we think about managing worldly wealth, you know, we look to the scriptures, we see there was plenty of examples of people who had significant means, and yet they were still pursuing God with everything. So we don't need to have guilt around that. It's really the idea of what we're going to do with it, right?
That's right. He's just given us more accountability. And so it's not that God blessed me. He gave me more accountability, more responsibility. To whom much has been given, much will be required. And therefore, we as stewards must always live with the understanding that it is required that we be faithful. So faith, reward in the kingdom of heaven is based on faithfulness to opportunity. And so the New Testament principles are far more radical in many respects, although there were four tithes. There's a passive tithe, either, with so much it added up to actually about 33.5%. It's much more than we would have supposed. But the New Testament tells us that we are actually to allow the Spirit to guide us, to give us with gratitude, give it in a sacrificial way, give it proportionately and give it consistently. There's a sense of privilege that we are allowed to be a player in something that's going to last forever. And that's the significance of a thing. How long will it last?
You know, Rob, Ken mentioned the word accountability. Let me just jump in here and comment on that, because what we've experienced is that, you know, left to ourselves, we will not generally be generous. Because we bought the lie of the world, that the gravity, like Ken said, the tentacles that hold us down. And so you need accountability. Once a person sets that ceiling, are you going to actually give above and beyond that? And so accountability is a very important aspect to be able to give according to your ability.
Gentlemen, this has been great. I know this is just part one of a couple of interviews we'll be doing on this topic, but thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be with you.
That's Ken Boa and Russ Cross, and the authors of Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. Get it wherever you buy books. Your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
More than ever, pastors need to feel people's love and support. There's no better time to do this than Pastor Appreciation Month in October. And there's no better way to do it than using the easy as 1-2-3 Bless Your Pastor materials, available for free at blessyourpastor.org. If your church uses the free 1-2-3 materials, church pastors will be offered a $300 scholarship application to attend a marriage retreat. Learn more at blessyourpastor.org. That's blessyourpastor.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
What a joy it was to have my good friends, Dr. Ken Bowe and Russ Crossan, on today. Just incredible, practical, theological counsel around how we should think about leveraging that which has been entrusted to us, God's resources, for eternal purposes, leveraging for kingdom impact. I always love hearing from Russ. He's got such a depth of practical knowledge. Ken, well, yeah, we call him Dr. Boa because he's got not only a PhD from New York University, but a doctor of philosophy from the University of Oxford. That's on top of his master's in theology. Probably one of the smartest people I know, and yet has just such a powerful way of communicating what it looks like to pursue God with all that we have, including our financial resources. Well, we want to turn the corner today and take your phone calls, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got lines open today. We'd love to tackle whatever you're thinking about, whether it's on the topic of generosity or anything else as well. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. In just a moment, we'll talk to Thomas in Indiana. But first, let's go to Texas. Hi, Kathy. First-time caller. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I recently had a stock sale, and I have a tithe, and of course I want my tithe to be acceptable to the Lord, and I have a question if the idea I have of what to do with the tithe is biblical.
Okay.
And that is it biblical? Would it be considered a tithe if I took the funds, the tithe from that stock sale, and applied it to a gift annuity through a Christian organization, and I lived off of that money, obviously, until I passed, and then afterwards that money goes to the Christian organization?
Yeah. So you're thinking about a charitable gift annuity, like, for instance, the one from the American Family Association?
That's exactly what I'm thinking about, yeah.
Yeah, excellent, Kathy. Well, first of all, I love that idea, and you're exactly right in that you can make a current contribution. You receive a tax deduction for that, and it's, they'll help you figure out how much you would receive for that. You can generate income for the rest of your life, and then at your death, it goes to the ministry. In this case, it would be to the great work of AFA. Let's take a step back and just talk about the tithe for a second. You know, the tithe preceded the law. We saw it with Melchizedek. It was clearly a part of the Old Testament law. There was actually three tithes that totaled, because one of them was every 3 years. It was 23 1/3%, and then there was some additional giving beyond that. Clearly, Jesus references the tithe, but we're now under the law of Christ. And so I think Jesus raises the bar. New Testament giving is really all about proportionate, sacrificial, I think, free giving that flows out of an act of worship. We should give cheerfully, not reluctantly or under compulsion, we see in God's word. And so I think the idea is that it's not God is not an accountant. And so it's not a matter of kind of checking a box and, did we do what we have to do? It's really more about just saying, listen, I want to honor the Lord with all that he's entrusted to me. And part of doing that is to give a proportionate gift, which is why I like the principle of the tithe, perhaps as a starting point to say, I want to give a tenth of my increase. So if we look at the tithe, it was based on your increase. And obviously, if you have proceeds that came as a result of a sale of a stock, that would I would put that in the increase category. I like starting with the local church, but then I think we should, again, just begin there and move well beyond that. So I would say to you, Kathy, if you have a desire to take and leverage this stock gift for kingdom purposes, and it makes sense to you to put that into a charitable gift annuity with AFA for the reasons we talked about, the deduction, the lifetime income, and then ultimately the gift resulting at the end of your life, that's ultimately between you and the Lord. I would say that'd be a great idea. But I think moving forward beyond that, you know, I love the idea of you continuing to give, you know, off of your increase to the local church. But I think in this case, you know, if that works for you and it helps to meet your financial planning objectives and allows you to be incredibly generous at death, I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. In fact, I would say that's a great idea.
Okay, thank you. I was I often thinking about Cain and Abel, how they both gave a gift, but one wasn't acceptable, and I just want to make sure that it's acceptable. That's all.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because clearly you want to be found faithful in giving to the Lord. And what I would say to you is the acceptable gift to the Lord is one that comes from the right heart posture. Again, it's a cheerful gift. It's an act of worship. It's a demonstration of trust, ultimately, in the Lord as our provider, because when we give, we're loosening our grip, which says, I don't have to hold tightly to everything that comes into my hand because I trust in God as my provider, and therefore I can give it away. And in fact, it's a privilege to be a part of God's activity in the local church and well beyond that through culture-changing work like what's being done here at AFA and beyond. So I love that idea, and I think that gift that's acceptable to God really starts with your heart, and it's less about the amount and the strategies and more about kind of your heart posture in doing it in the first place. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you for the guidance.
You're welcome, Kathy. Listen, all the best to you. Thank you for calling today. If we can serve you again in the future, let us know. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got a few lines open to Indiana. Hi, Thomas. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about tithing. So I've heard you talk a lot about donor-advised funds and how you can leave an IRA upon death to a donor-advised fund. My question is there a way to give money to my local church pre-tax?
There is. Well, not pre-tax. I mean, the only way to do that would be through what's called a qualified charitable distribution that comes out of an IRA. So think money going into a 401k pre-tax or money going into an IRA pre-tax. And then once you leave your job, you roll that 401k to an IRA, or maybe you put it there in the first place. That can be given directly to your church once you're 70 and a half. Beyond that, you're going to only have the option of giving it and receiving a deduction if you itemize. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, but I want to talk a bit more about this. So you stay right there, Thomas, and we'll finish up right after this break. We'll be right back.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. If you want to support the work of Faith and Finance, perhaps you count on this broadcast, you enjoy tuning in each day, we'd love to invite you to become a financial supporter of the ministry with your tax-deductible gift at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. All right, back to the phones we go. Before the break, we were talking to Thomas in Indiana. Thomas is wondering about being able to fund the work of his church, leveraging a donor-advised fund. And what I was saying before the break, Thomas, is you mentioned pre-tax dollars, and contributions to a donor advised fund are not pre-tax. You recognize that money as income as you receive it, and then you'd make a contribution to your donor advised fund. And then if you itemize, so for a married couple filing jointly in 2023, that's itemized deductions greater than $20,800, then you could take that as a deduction against your income for the year. Now, where a donor advised fund actually helps that is when folks do use a strategy called bunching, where essentially, let's say you're going to give a certain amount to your church over a 2 or 3 year period, and you have that in savings, you could go ahead and make that entire contribution in year one to your donor advised fund, therefore getting you above the standard deduction. So now you get to deduct that larger amount because you've gone past that $20,800, and then you give it to your church over time, perhaps monthly or annually over 3 years. That would be a way to use a donor advised fund in this case. But in terms of giving it pre-tax to your church, where you never recognize it as income in the first place, the only strategy I can think of would be that charitable gift, or not charitable gift annuity, but the qualified charitable distribution, QCD, out of an IRA, but you've got to be 70 and a half in order to be able to do that. Does that all make sense?
Yes. I was under the impression that if you left an IRA upon death to a donor advised fund, that then it would not be taxed. Is that incorrect?
Okay, so you've got an IRA going to a donor advised fund. So an IRA, that's a good point. An IRA could fund a donor advised fund if it's upon your death, so you would leave the, name the donor advised fund as the beneficiary, and then the successor beneficiary of that IRA, of that donor advised fund would then be able to make recommendations as to where that money is given, and could choose your local church if they wanted to. Again, you're gone at that point, but yes, you could name your donor advised fund as a beneficiary. That is true.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling, Thomas. We appreciate it. I love all the giving questions today. You know, as we think about giving generously, you know, that's one of our big ideas when it comes to managing God's money. Yes, we should enjoy what God has entrusted to us. That's clear in His Word. Yes, we should provide. That's clear in His Word as well. But I think one of the big opportunities, you know, it's a bit about what Dr. Boa was talking about at the beginning of the program today, and that is the idea that we're brief sojourners on this world. He said it in a more compelling way than I will, but we know that our lives are but a vapor. But here's the reality, folks. We can be connected into God's grand story from everlasting to everlasting through our giving. Think about that. You know, if our lives, you know, we're only going to be here for, what is it, maybe at best 100 years, you know, that's just almost not enough time to have a generational impact that spans, you know, the generations. And yet we can, through our giving, connect into God's grand story and be a part of what God's doing in people's lives. And in doing so, through our giving and generosity, we can see that everlasting impact that's for all of eternity. That's the privilege that we get when we're invited into God's giving adventure, I'll call it. And I love how we can think about doing that in a strategic way, as our callers today, Kathy, and then our previous caller just now, are thinking about when it comes to charitable gift annuities, donor advised funds. These are ways to get money into the kingdom, but to be wise in the process in terms of the strategy that we use. All right, let's take some more phone calls. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today. Feel free to call right now. To Louisiana. Hi, Chris. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. So my question was, so I've been hearing a lot of people talk about tithing, because I know tithing has always been, it's because you got so many people coming out ministering on prosperity and all that. My question was, would I take the money, if I'm in debt, credit card debt or whatever, should I take that money and try to knock out my debt first and then start back tithing? Because some people, you know, depending on what church you go to, oh, you need to pay God first, or you're going to, you know, that's why you're in the situation you're in. And it could just be poor management. You don't know how to manage your money. So, I mean, how would you do that? You got a lot of debt. You got kids. You got family. You got stuff coming in. Would I just say, well, I'm going to just take all my tithe money and let this bill go? You know what I'm saying? And how would you do that?
I love this question, Chris, because you're hitting on something that's really key here, and that is this idea that we have competing priorities, and the things that you're describing are all good things. Providing for your family, check. Paying down debt, check. Giving as unto the Lord cheerfully and with a glad heart and as an act of worship, absolutely, check. So how do you balance these competing priorities? And I think, you know, the first thing to recognize is that it all belongs to God, right? And so we've been tasked as His money managers, and our call is to be found faithful. So we go back to the scriptures and we say, what's in the scriptures with regard to how we should handle our money? Well, clearly we're to honor our obligations. That means to pay back our debt. Clearly there are warnings in scripture around debt. It's not a sin to borrow, but there's plenty of warnings in scripture that should cause me to say, I better be moving to get out of debt over time. Yeah, we should be savers as well. There's precious treasure and oil in the house of the wise. A foolish man swallows it up, is what Proverbs tells us. We're absolutely told to provide. You know, we're said that we're worse than an unbeliever if we don't provide. And yes, we should give generously. So how should we approach that? And here's what I would say to you. You know, if you are in a place where debt is holding you back, I would say, you know, that has to be a priority. Getting to a proper amount in savings has to be a priority. And I think giving has to be a priority as well. Now, how do we balance it? Well, here's the approach I would take. I would say, first, continue to give. Now, you may decide, and this is ultimately between you and the Lord. Remember, God's not an accountant. We don't want to make this, you know, a legalistic kind of thing where we're giving to get and, you know, slipping into that prosperity gospel that you referenced. That's clearly not the biblical worldview. But I would say continuing to give something systematically is important because it's going to continue to keep you giving unto the Lord and continue to exercise that giving muscle, if you will. Now, you may decide for a season between you and the Lord, you're going to back that down. So instead of you automatically giving a tenth, 10% off of your increase, you may say for a season, I'm going to back that down to 5% or 3% because I want to get out from under this debt that's, you know, creating a hardship in my life. It's creating a burden. I'm paying a fortune in interest. And so I'm going to back down my giving. I wouldn't say you eliminate your giving, continue to do something. But then with that money you have available, and I do the hard work in your budget to look at every expense and see where you can cut back first, then I'd build up a $1,500 emergency fund. And once you did that, I'd put every available dollar against that high interest consumer debt until it's gone, and then go right back to your giving and bump that back up. That's just my best advice, Chris. You pray about it. See where the Lord directs you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Take a time out in the corner.
Refuse to allow anything, whether they be relationships, whether they be friends and family members, whether they be a Supreme Court refusing to hear a case, whether they be any election results, no matter what it is, refuse to allow those things to eclipse the preeminence of Christ in your life.
The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on AFR. The podcast is available anytime at AFR.net.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming or podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Taking your questions today at 800-525-7000. I've got room for maybe two more questions here before we round out the broadcast. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. But first, it's Monday, which means Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You might see him regularly on CNBC and Fox Business. Bob is a Wall Street veteran, but he also approaches everything he does through a biblical lens. And Bob, a lot going on in the markets today. Obviously, front and center is what's taking place between Israel and Hamas. What do you make of that, and how will that move the markets?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of red on the screen, but I have to admit, Rob, less red than I thought there might be. I thought the markets would be down a bit more. Now, the bond markets closed for Columbus Day, as you undoubtedly know,
yeah.
And stocks are down some, but it's not a big amount. Now, oil, remember, oil fell from its big run up over the last week or so, $10,
yeah.
And it's only up $3 or $4 relative to the events, the sad events over the weekend. So put that in perspective. Look, the world is always an uncertain place. It's become a little more uncertain, increasingly dangerous. It's going to put upward pressure on defense budgets around the world. You know that Saudi Arabia and Israel, we're making some progress to normalize relations. That gets put back, which is not good. So the number of hot spots in the world, Rob, sadly goes up by one in the last few days.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, Bob, today was a special edition of Dahl's Deliberations, which, by the way, folks, you can sign up to receive that in your inbox weekly at crossmarkglobal.com, because it was your quarterly edition where you look both back at Q3 as well as the forward-looking outlook from here with the markets and the economy. Just summarize your take on where we find ourselves.
Yeah, so a couple words about the third quarter. The main event of the third quarter was the rise in interest rates out the curve. Government bond yields moved up a lot, from trough to peak, almost 100 basis points, a whole percentage point. And that set equities back simply because of valuation. It probably raised the probability of a recession, given that higher interest rates choke off credit and create some expenses people didn't expect. And the rapidity, the pace of the rise is concerning. So where do we go from here? Well, we're all going to be watching the bond market. We'll be watching how the Fed reacts to it. The inflation numbers, which of late have been a little bit better, including the employment report last Friday. But I believe for the stock market, we're still stuck in this 4,200 to 4,600 range, sitting just below 4,300 as we talk here, Rob, having come down from almost 4,600 at the peak on July 31st. So I think there's going to be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing as we try to get a handle on what does the economy look like and earnings into 2024. Third quarter earnings are going to come out fast and furious. We suspect they will be okay as the first and second quarter were, meaning no worse than expected, but down a bit. And that's just not helpful. And, of course, we'll be listening carefully to the conference calls about how business is looking for the fourth quarter and into 2024.
Yeah, very good. That's helpful. By the way, we will be taking some phone calls here before we round out the program at 800-525-7000. If you have a financial question today, you can call that. We'll tackle any topic. Bob, you mentioned there this soft landing that's obviously the best case scenario for the economy, and what the Fed is aiming for is going to be largely driven by the consumer. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And the variables around the consumer are how many of us are working. And with the employment report last Friday, more than we thought. That's good news. Although wage growth slowed more than expected. So that's a positive for inflation, but a negative for consumers and their paychecks. I think it's there's a question, how much excess savings does the consumer still have from the pandemic? And there are a lot of views. Some say it's just about finished. Others say it's going to last into the first few months of next year. And a lot of that will have to do with whether or not we have a economic slowdown / a recession.
Yeah, very good. Bob, is there a case to be made that we're heading into a period, if we look out over the next decade or two, that the S&P 500, that stocks in general are going to have less return than we might have seen historically? You know, the average annual return, I think, over the last 100 years is still north of 10%. Is there a case to be made that we should be ready to accept returns less than that?
Yes, I don't know how we avoid a lower set of returns, Rob. Valuations and earnings progress determine stock prices, and valuations are on the higher side, and earnings growth is dependent on profit margins, among other things, and they're at the high end. So my guess is that 10% that we've enjoyed over the long term, and even higher than that in the 10 years prior to the pandemic, is going to be challenged, and we're probably stuck with mid-single digits, call it 5 to 7%. We actually put a white paper out on this a few months ago. If anybody goes on our website, they can find that.
CrossmarkGlobal.com. Bob, before we let you go today, tell us the funds that you manage there at Crossmark.
So large cap core, large cap value, large cap growth, and equity market neutral. We manage those four mutual funds and separately managed accounts alongside of all four.
And all four and every fund there at Crossmark through a biblical lens, meaning avoiding companies, embracing other ones, and so forth, right?
Exactly. Helping people put their investments right with their values.
Very good. Bob, we always appreciate your insights, my friend.
Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. God bless you. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his Dahl's Deliberations and check out the white paper he was referring to at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, folks, we've got some time maybe for one more question today before we round out the broadcast at 800-525-7000. So let's do that. We'll go to Louisiana. Glenda, thank you for being a first-time caller. How can I help you?
Yes, I was just wondering on tithing. Are we supposed to tithe like on everything? Like, for instance, I sold a car, yeah, and I did tithe off the money that I received. And I'm just wondering, on everything that we receive money, are we supposed to tithe on it?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, Glenda. Here's what I would say. First of all, I love your desire to be generous and give to the Lord. Second of all, you can't outgive God, so it's never a bad idea to give. And I love the principle of the tithe as a starting point. It's really a beginning place where we say, as God prospers us through whatever increase comes our way, selling an asset at a profit or a paycheck or an inheritance or even a check from Social Security, I love the idea that we give systematically and proportionately back to the Lord, starting with the local church, God's plan A. Now, when it comes to giving a tithe, if we're going to apply that Old Testament principle, it would be on the increase, Glenda. So typically you would not have, except in a few rare situations, with a car, maybe where it's a collectible, you'd sell a car for less than you paid for it because you buy it, it depreciates, you run it and wear it and use it down, and then you sell it for much less than what you bought it for. So there's not an increase there. The increase would only occur on the sale of an asset when it appreciates. So think buying a house and then you sell it for more than you bought it for, 5 or 10 years later. Think buying, gold and it rises in value and then you sell it, or a piece of art. Not usually the case with a car. So never a bad idea to give as the Lord prospers you. And obviously as you have that sale of that asset, you've got money available to give. But in terms of the principle of the tithe, it would be based on an increase, and you didn't have an increase in almost every case when you sell a car. Does that make sense?
It does. And I really appreciate that, because I was just curious, about that, because I love giving to the Lord.
Yeah.
So everything I receive, I try to, give to the Lord from it. So I was just wondering if it was mandated, through scriptures to give. But that does make sense on the increase. I didn't even think of that, but that was very good.
Very good. Well, I'm delighted to hear that, and I so appreciate your desire to be a faithful giver, Glenda. The Lord will honor that. And, here's the reality. We know that we can't take it with us, but God's Word tells us we can send it on ahead, and that's exactly what you're doing. So thanks for checking in with us today. We appreciate it very, very much. Well, folks, we have covered a lot of ground today, and always grateful to have you with us. By the way, we talked about for a moment today charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation. If you'd like to learn more about how you can make a gift to AFA, receive lifetime income, and then have what's remaining go to the American Family Association at your death, it's called a charitable gift annuity, and actually some recent law changes have made this even more attractive. You can now fund that in other ways, including through what's called a legacy IRA. If you'd like to learn more, contact our friends at the American Family Association Foundation at afafoundation.net. That's afafoundation.net. I love talking about giving, and if you'd like to give to support the work here at Faith and Finance, you can do that at our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. Folks, at the end of the day, with all the uncertainty around us and the horrible atrocities from over the weekend taking place in Israel at the hand of terrorists, Lord, we just ask that the Lord would be with you, that He would guide you, that we'd be reminded that we need to place our trust in Him, and that includes in the way that we handle his resources, being a demonstration and a testimony to the world of our dependence on God as our provider. On behalf of my team today, Jim Henry, Robert Youngblood, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.